In the evolving landscape of modern fatherhood, Joseph stands as a guide and a mentor, leading fathers through the transformative journey of fatherhood dynamics. His approach integrates the timeless wisdom of the king, warrior, magician, and lover archetypes, offering a more profound and holistic understanding of what it means to be a father today. He specializes in mentoring fathers to embody the four archetypes in their parenting journey. By embracing the king, guides them to provide leadership and stability. As the warrior, he guides them to instill strength and discipline. Through the magician, to impart wisdom and insight, and as the lover, to nurture deep emotional connections. His mission is to empower fathers to transcend traditional parenting roles, helping them become not only providers and protectors, but also nurturing, empathetic figures in their children's lives. He views fatherhood as a crucial pathway to personal growth and societal change. By guiding fathers to integrate these archetypal energies, he aims to impact not only individual families, but also contribute to a broader cultural shift towards more emotionally intelligent, conscious parenting. In his mentorship, he emphasizes the importance of being adaptable and conscious in parenting, understanding when to provide firm guidance, offer protection, impart wisdom, or support with unconditional love is key to the dynamic of the fatherhood journey. He is also the co-owner of the Frequency of Fatherhood, which you've seen me on the summit and some of our past guests as well. And if you haven't yet gotten on the summit, we'll show you how. All right. I'm excited for you guys to hear it. Here it goes.
Don't move. Keep it locked.
You already know.
You're listening to the Forfeit Fatherhood Podcast. And we're having conversations with dope dads covering the four pillars of fatherhood. We call it the Fit Fatherhood Formula.
Faith, family, finance, and fitness.
That's right. These dads are setting the pace in business and fatherhood. This show isn't only about the outside success. We're getting down to who you are. Gentlemen, it's time to get fit. And now, let's get into the show.
Let's get into the show. Let's get into the show.
All right, welcome back to the Forfeit Fatherhood Podcast, a podcast for fathers by fathers, where we talk about the four pillars of fatherhood, which are faith, family, finance, and fitness. And I'm excited to have another guest with me today. I know you guys enjoy the guest episodes, and I do too, right? Because I love talking to fathers about fatherhood. And I also really like to talk to guys who are doing work in fatherhood. Like, it's nothing wrong with just being a father, but guys who are out there trying to create a better environment by helping fathers be better versions of themselves. It's always an exciting conversation to have because that is a passion of mine as well. So I'm excited to have a guest with me today, and I'm sure you guys are going to get a lot out of it. So my guest today is, well, you know what? I should have probably asked you this ahead of time. Joseph,
yeah.
Is that the correct way to say it? I don't want to mess it up. I don't know what I want to say. Yes. Joseph? Joseph? All right. That's pretty.
In English, it's Joseph, so that's cool.
Joseph. So I figured as much, yeah. Right? But I didn't want to make the assumption, but Joseph, or Joseph. How you doing today, brother?
Very well. Thank you very much, bro. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on because you were a part of something that I was also a part of and actually a co-owner of, actually, Frequency of Fatherhood, which was a summit that allowed a variety of phenomenal speakers to come on in the fatherhood space to talk about fatherhood and talk about some of the work that they're doing. And you know, I thought there was a ton of information for anyone to digest, and I'm still working through it myself. But I appreciate you guys for putting that together because it was phenomenal. But tell us a little bit about yourself, what you got going on, and I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more. But I just had to reference it really quickly.
Yeah, we'll definitely come back to that. Once again, thank you very much, Rod, for having me on the podcast. My name is officially Josip. I'm from Croatia, but I work a lot with English people. I work a lot with people in the States. So when I work with people speaking English, it's always Joseph. So that's like easier. It's the same name. It's just pronounced differently in different countries. So what I do, I live in Spain for the last 2 years. I moved to Spain with my family just to reconnect with the family, to put family first on the priority list and have time together after a very long period of just working. And because I've been into personal development or coaching world for about 16 years now, And I did take a break for a year of eight because coaching space is very, very crowded and there is a lot of people coaching. And I took a break from coaching 8 years ago and I went into consulting. So I started consulting companies, mostly on marketing. And I worked with a lot of speakers worldwide. I did an agency for Tony Robbins in Europe, worked with a lot of speakers on different subjects, on personal development, on finance, on real estate, all those kinds of seminars. I attended more than 400 seminars myself, 400 live seminars. And that kind of rubbed off on me in the sense of becoming a kind of a magician archetype. I feel very home at the magician archetype. I love knowledge. I love finding out about new stuff. The only thing about that is that's also a disadvantage because I found myself at one point like really being content with gathering insights, and that didn't really work out because at one point that all the information you acquire can literally paralyze you. And I noticed that 3 years ago, which made me like take a break and say like, okay, we're packing our stuff and we're doing something completely new. We're taking the whole family. We're going to Spain. And that was the best decision I ever made. It literally changed our family life. And it made me come into the fatherhood work because being able to get that time aside for my family literally made me aware of, yeah, what ball is the most important ball, and that's family.
Yeah, I like that, man. I like that. I had a similar epiphany, right? That I was kind of getting away from being the present and available father that I set out to be in the beginning, and I had to make a big change in order to get back connected to my family. So that definitely resonates with me. We didn't move countries, though. We didn't. Although I love Spain, we went to Barcelona a few years ago and had a really, really good time. We got to take our daughters with us, and so we had a really good time. And maybe we got to go back soon. But I can resonate with you know, connecting back with family. You mentioned the archetype there, and I know you do some work with the archetypes, and I. Actually, it's funny, about a year ago for March, the month of March, we were doing like a masculinity thing, trying to discover what masculinity is. And because everyone has these different ideas on what masculinity is, there's a bit of a crisis in masculinity, right? Because everybody has their own idea of what masculinity is. And the definition makes it difficult to pin it down. And one of the books that was like required reading was The King Within. And so when I heard you mention archetypes there, I know that they mention it as well in the book. And for those people who don't know what that means, when you mention that, would you kind of go into that a little bit for us?
Yeah, definitely. So basically, if you go all the way back to the psychology of Carl Jung, the Jungian psychology, I'm just going to forward it. To not make it too broad, two guys, Douglas Gillette and Robert Moore, took like the psychology of Carl Jung, and they studied it from the viewpoint of men, and they wrote a book, King Warrior Magician Lover, and that's one of the there are different classic books on masculinity, like Iron John, like King Warrior Magician Lover, but this one really stood out for me because it provided a very simple framework. Around four archetypes that are very present in the masculine world. And what they did is they literally took the very complicated theory of Carl Jung and his, for example, his own books like The Red Book, which is extremely hard to read, and they summarize it in an easier to read book and easier to read framework, which is accessible and understandable by more people because they talk about four archetypes, the king, the warrior, the magician, and lover, where everybody kind of knows what those are. Everybody kind of has a view on what a king is, on what a lover is, on what a magician is, and what a warrior is. So they made it much more accessible and easier to work with because the psychology of masculinity is very complex. And what they did is literally they made it more mainstream and more understandable. And that's why it's, I think, one of the most used books in masculinity trainings, courses, what you find online, you will always come across the four archetypes.
Yeah. It's funny because I had never heard of it before, and it broken down into that way, like the psyche of man broken down into these four archetypes. But when I was reading the book, I'm like, oh man, that makes sense. I definitely do feel in certain times like, you know, the king and providing leadership and like a warrior, I'm strength, and then like, you know, magician was like wisdom as a magician, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then the lover is like the nurturer, and as a father trying to be a complete man, right? There's all these different parts that I have to be, right? And being one, too much of one and not the others causes problems. And so I kind of trying to exist in all of these four versions of myself and show up fully. And it did help with trying to define masculinity during that time. Obviously, we still haven't come to a clear, completely clear definition on what it is, because again, everyone will have their own spin on it, because it is something that is, I don't think you can put into a box, right? It's a big thing. How are you using that, like, with, because you're obviously working with fathers and working with men, how are you using those, or that idea, or the thought process of the four versions of a male psyche? How are you using that to help men, I guess, or fathers?
So what I did is I took the four archetypes, and that's how fatherhood dynamics took off. It's within fatherhood, you have different dynamics. The archetypes between the archetypes, which you just mentioned, you have different dynamics. And the funny part is, when people first read the book, or when people go read it in out of the curiosity for masculinity, the first thing I hear from men is like, "Oh, I'm the king. Oh, I'm more the magician." Yeah. Oh, and basically, you're not any of those archetypes. Those archetypes are unconscious energies that we take with us, that we all have within us. Every single energy is already within you. So you can basically tap into the energy. The only thing is, are you tapping in that energy or not? And where are you tapping the most? So we usually have a predominant archetype that we already use. For example, mine was for a very long time the magician, because that was a safe zone for me. So I tapped into the magician zone very often. But that created a disbalance in the fact that there are other energies that I basically ignored. And once you ignore the energy, you fall into the passive shadow side of the archetype. So every archetype has shadow sides. So every archetype has an active side. So if you identify a lot with the archetype, you'll probably go into the active shadow side. But if you don't identify with the archetype, in my own case, I didn't identify with the warrior. I even cut out the warrior. I didn't want to have anything to do with the warrior. Because of my situation, I come from ex-Yugoslavia, and I've been through war. I fled to the Netherlands when I was a child. And I saw what a man can do if they're like in the shadow side. The only thing is, I didn't understand for a very long time. I didn't understand that was just the shadow side of the warrior. So I completely like ghosted the warrior. And my safe zone was always the magician, the knowledge part. And once I read this book, it like, damn, something just really clicked. And I started to learn more about the warrior archetype, about the king archetype. I started doing a lot more talks within men groups because I grew up with four older sisters. So I always had a lot of women around me, and I felt really safe within the feminine environment. But the thing is, and that's what the book also talks about, especially for young boys, you need to have a part where you break with the feminine energy. And it's like, they call it the break with the mother. And it's not your biological mother, but break with mother energy. And usually that happens around a year of, about an age of 12, 13, 14, somewhere around that age. You break with the feminine and you go into the masculine. And we used to have a lot of masculine role models, fathers, grandfathers, uncles, who took us onto the masculine development side. Yeah, and that's something that happens way less in these days. And you already mentioned it. We can go into that subject after this. Indeed, there is definitely a man crisis. Yeah, we have two crises going on at this moment. And that's why I'm glad we are all joining forces to set up new examples, to bring back masculinity, but also to bring back fatherhood. Because there is a crisis of masculinity, crisis of men, and there is a crisis of absent fathers. So those two are something we all have. We as men, definitely with children. I'm blessed to have two daughters and a son on its way. So I was a father in my 20s. I was a father. I became a father in my 30s. And now I'm going to become a father in my 40s. So that's like I'm a father for almost half my life. And I think we have this obligation to bring that back to the world. And I will come back to that later as well. So yeah, there are two crises. And I think men work and father work is our way of coping with that, our way of bringing value into the world to beat that.
Yeah. You know, before we go forward, I want to kind of go back into you mentioned the shadow side. But before I do, I also have four older sisters, so I know exactly what that's like. And I have two daughters. I don't have a son on the way, but I know where you're at with that, right? But I remember reading in the book and reading about like the shadow side versus being active. And I have a little bit of an understanding because I read the book, but can you kind of share what that is, like what the shadow side is versus being active in that particular archetype, like what that means?
Yeah. So basically you have like the archetypes all work together. If you have integrated all four of the archetypes. Before that, you have the boy psychology and men's psychology. And the boy psychology goes up to an age around 12, 13, 14. And then you transcend into the men's archetypes. So those are basically there are eight archetypes. Once you transcend into the men's archetypes, if you, for example, over-identify with archetype, if you're like, I am the king, so you over-identify with the king archetype, then you fall into the active shadow side, and then that's the tyrant side. So then you're a tyrant. If you say I'm not the king, I don't possess any king qualities, I have nothing to do with the king, then you fall into the passive shadow of the king, and that's you're not tapping into the energy, so you're tapping into the shadows. And there's one thing that's funny part about the shadows is that the shadows are bipolar. So if you are like over identifying with the king and you are the tyrant, and somebody like calls you out and you fall through that floor, you just go through to the passive side of the king. Then you're like, no, I'm not the king, I never heard about the king. So the trick is to be active on all four and integrate all four. And the shadows are like the immature version of the archetype. So that's like you haven't come into the maturity yet. For kings, for example, there are a lot of princes, prince energies walking the world, especially at this moment. Also within the men movement, like you have the whole, I'm not going to mention the name because I never mentioned the name if the person is not there. You have a certain movement within young men that are carried away with a specific way of thinking where everything is about the money, about the status, about the energy, because it's energy. We like energy. The only thing is that's still prince energy. And if you go from immature energy into the king archetype, you always end up within the shadows, or it's overcompensating, or it's not feeling it enough. So most of the prince energies right now think they're all kings. And so they are basically becoming tyrants. And they feel like a king energy until they find somebody like they can put their tyranny on. And that's happening in young men's movement at this moment, because there's a huge gap within young men. And the gap is called responsibility. We have a lack of responsibility within young men. And how do we fill that gap with that gap of lack of responsibility is with overcompensating on the fact that it's about the money, it's about the power, it's about, so we are going to the active side of the king, of the shadow of the king. So and yeah, some people really took advantage of the big gap that is especially in young boys in the age on from 18 16 17 18 till age of 30, around 35. That's where usually shit happens, and there is a huge. I don't personally like that movement at all, and I think we need more mature male models who are going to step into this game, and try to give better examples.
Yeah. I think you mentioned it is the lack of that transition, like you talked about, cutting from the mother or separating from the mother is what would traditionally be there is some sorts of rites of passage where an older male figure role model would take that 12, 13 year old boy and usher them into manhood. Right. So they would leave the boyish archetypes and move into male archetypes because there was a process that would get them from one to the other. I think lacking that process, which I think we lack as a whole, there are some situations and some different instances where there is a rites of passage and that exists. And that's great. But as a whole, that's not really there. Right. And so you have immature males pretending to be men or living as men, I would say, but they're not men, right? There's a difference between the two, right? There's adult males and there's men. And this is from a book that I read where it kind of breaks that down, where like an adult male still acts like a child, still acts like, everything is about him. Everything is about what he can accomplish and what he can do. And like you mentioned, he's kind of a tyrant because he doesn't understand that as a male or as a king, it's less about you and more about the people that you actually are a servant leader, right? The king is responsible for taking care of the people that are underneath him, right? He's not just stepping on them like they're ants, but taking care of them, you know, them being less than him is almost more like his responsibility, as you said, as opposed to like his subjects.
Exactly. So you're completely spot on with this, because what you mentioned there is what I refer to as a prince. So they are still prince. They're still in the prince energy. Everything is about them. And the thing is that the king's energy, and I love the fact when I talk to young lads, it's like, they're like, I'm the king. I'm like, you become king by maturity. You mature into kingdom. At one point, you start taking more responsibility. And responsibility is always about others. So you take responsibility for others. And that's what a king does. King takes responsibility about his kingdom, not about himself only. Like that's what you do in a prince. You find out what your identity is. You find out what your... everything is about you. But when you enter the king stage, it's about serving the community, serving your family, serving the kingdom. And you also mentioned the what happens when you don't break from the mother, because you have like the lack of older role models that can transcend you into the mature masculinity. What happens if you don't break? I've been there for a very long time, because I grew up with older sisters, and I kind of somewhere missed the transcending part. And what happens then is, as a man, you start viewing the world through the eyes of your mother. So what you get a feminine worldview. Mm-hmm. And if you have like enough boys that get feminine worldview, and you multiply that and you take that like in a period of 20, 30, 40 years, what has been happening the last 40 years, then you get like a complete disbalance between masculine and feminine energy in the world, where men are way, way, way too much in their feminine energy within the feminine worldview. And that happened to me. I was like that, which at the end, if you're in a relationship, how did that translate in my relationship? We split up in 2018. Yeah, me and my wife split up for 6 months because the energies were completely whack, were completely off balance. I was more in the feminine energy. She was more in the masculine energy because she didn't feel safe because I wasn't taking the masculine part, the masculine role. And that all goes unnoticed. You don't think about that if nobody like tells you how this stuff works and how mm-hmm. masculine energy works. So once I started attending like men's groups, and I started like learning about masculine energy and learning about the rite of passage and learning about how I am set up, wired to be, and then the whole shift happened, and we came together again after 6 months, and from then on our relationship has never been better. the energies are like shifting. She's much more happier. She's feeling like she became much softer, and I became much harder in the sense of masculine. I discovered my warrior side. It just ticks way better.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you in terms of like there's this disbalance, this imbalance of masculine and feminine energy. A lot of it has to do with fatherlessness, which you mentioned before, because there was a generation of boys who didn't have a father involved in the way that he should have been. And so they're raised by their mother. Yeah, mama's boys, for example, is just the term in general is someone who is directly connected to their mother. Or you hear you hear some little boys be called a guy's guy or a man's man. And those things are you don't hear that very often anymore. You don't hear guys referred to that way as often anymore. And that's because of the fatherlessness crisis that we mentioned a little bit earlier. But if I'm a father currently, right, and I'm trying to rectify that situation, I'm trying to make it better. How does the different archetypes? How do I use those to position me as the man and father that I want to be for my children, and strengthen my relationship, right? Because you talked about that disbalance because of the energies. How do I like what do I do? What's the solution here?
Great question. And the first thing that I speak from my own experience. So what shifted the needle for me the most is as a man, start embracing your masculinity. Start with your body. It's like if your body if you don't have the energy, because you have a responsibility as father, which you will take on. With that responsibility, you set an example for your children. But if you don't have the energy, you are not taking on responsibilities. You can think about it, you can analyze it, but if you don't have the energy, you will never take on that responsibility. So first, the first thing I, when I talk to fathers is like, okay, let's just get your body straight. Let's get your energy up. Let's get you feeling more masculine. Let's bring on some power in your body, in your energy, because you will need that. Without that, it's very hard. And I've been with fathers, I've worked with fathers who thought they could overanalyze their way out of this. And I did the same. It doesn't work. It's like the first thing I would advise them is like, okay, just start getting in shape. Start working on yourself. Don't worry about the feminine energy. Don't worry about the feminine worldview. Don't worry about everything that's on the outside. Just focus completely on yourself and becoming a stronger man first. And from there on, the funny part is what happens then is you start attracting a complete different, energy. So people start coming to you. In my case, my wife started like, "Whoa, what's happening? I feel this energy," and I must say that the son that is on his way is part of that whole energy exchange system. So we didn't want to have a third kid, and we didn't want to have it. We definitely want to have it now, but it wasn't planned. And because we were like, okay, I have a daughter of 16 and a daughter of 8. So we took like a long time between those. And we were like, okay, now we're settled. We can like enjoy ourselves more. We can start doing more for ourselves. But the fact that I literally took the plunge into the masculine world and literally rediscovering myself and starting to work on my body and start to work on the energy, it just created an energy between the two of us that was like, yeah, it's time. Yeah. We're doing this. Yeah. We're doing this. And yeah, that's so the boy that's on his way and is like really, really a product of this whole, I don't want to say man up, but the product of this whole, just own your masculinity. Masculinity is not bad. There is this whole movement, and you have two camps now where you just had like the feminist camp, like destroying the masculinity. Now you have on the other side, you have masculinity just like, oh, we don't like the feminists. We don't like, and the thing is you need both.
Right.
We need the feminine. We need the masculine. The only thing is what's keeping us apart is the industrial worldview, and the industrial worldview was like there just for the industry, for the economics, for the we need to produce something. That worldview doesn't honor neither the feminine side nor the masculine side. And that's something we shouldn't be mistaken that the feminine side is industrial or that the masculine is industrial. So there is like this third power above the feminine and masculine who's just trying to do like, you both serve me. And yeah. That's something we need to be aware of. Like, don't bash the feminine, don't bash the masculine. Work together because you need each other, and we all have and masculine and feminine within us. So it's like we just have to mature enough to come together within that.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting that you started to embrace the masculine and starting to embrace your own masculinity and growing in that way, and now your next child is a son, right? It's like you manifested it, right? Like that your masculine energy grew and now it's a boy, right? So let me stop right there. Congratulations, by the way. Like, anytime you have a child, it's congratulations are in order, and you embracing your masculinity and doing the work that you do, it's already benefiting your wife and your daughters, but also going to benefit your son as a leader of men, you know, now leading this young man and bringing him into the world and grooming him to be the best version of himself he can be is going to be amazing. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So I say this too, to guys, the best thing you can do is to focus on you. And I think sometimes it gets taken negatively, right? Because there is, like you mentioned, there's a movement of men that are just like focused on them, but selfishly, right? When I say focus on you, like I don't mean selfishly. I mean, like you can't be the man or father you want to be. You can't be any title, right? Whether it be father, leader, husband, boss, employee, you can be all of those things. But in order for you to be the best of those things, you have to be the best you. You have to take care of the man that's at the center of it all, right? And so I tell guys all the time, you know, you have to start focusing on you. And I think the best or easiest way to do that is, as you mentioned, is to start focusing on your health, your fitness, right? Because that's something you can control. You have complete control over whether you get up in the morning and work out. I know I've seen guys doing burpees and cold tubs getting the fitness part of it taken care of. And I think that's where you start, right? Because there's a lot that is spurned from that, right? There's a discipline aspect that comes out of it. There is obviously the physical benefits, right? Because you're going to feel better. It's surprising that, you know, waking up early gives you more energy, but it does. But if I'm the same guy I asked you, you know, the previous question, now, what should I be doing? Is there something specifically that I should be doing fitness wise and taking care of myself? Do you have suggestions for the guys that you work with? Is there something specific that they do? Or is it just focus on you, just start working on your body?
There are three things. So there's the fitness. There's just go work out. If you don't have a plan yet, just make sure you go and work out every day. Just get that consistency in. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and that's often missed, is get enough sleep, because make sure you rest, because your body needs to rest. And the third is, and I think that's all three of them are important, but the third is that made a difference for me: get your food, get your nutrition in order, because you can never outwork what you eat. And I was an emotional eater for a long time. I love food. I love food, and I love Nutella. That's my biggest sin. I love Nutella. I could eat Nutella like the whole jar. And yeah. The thing is, you can never outwork what you put in your mouth. So it doesn't matter how boring it is and how strict it seems like weighing your food and watching the macros. I know from experience that when I did that, that helped me the most. Okay. And just watch your nutrition. So watch what you eat. Of course, get your proteins in. And indeed, if you need to supplement, do supplements. Supplements are not like the magic pill that you don't need to watch your nutrition. But they definitely go together with nutrition, because sometimes you definitely need extras, especially when you start working out. Your body is like, okay, we're recomposing our body. We're starting this whole thing over. We need materials. So, and that's something that you need to Yeah, to bring in food and nutrition, that's very important.
It's funny you mentioned Nutella. My stepmother is German, and when her and my father got together, she introduced me to Nutella, and I would say it was life-changing. And she's since introduced my oldest daughter, we have to have it. It's like we go shopping. We don't have it every week, obviously, but she's always asked, did we get Nutella this week? And this is something that is definitely, like, I remember the first time I had it and it had the gold cover. You rip open the gold cover and it's like, yeah. So anyway, I'm right there with you with the Nutella, man. Jeez. No, but you mentioned something that I think is really important is the, well, all of it, right? The getting the rest, what you eat, working out. And even supplementation, I think that part is important as well. I would say get your whole foods first, though. Your food and water first, right? It's a supplement for a reason. Like you said, it's not a magic pill. It's not going to take the place of that, but it can fill in the holes and the gaps where you just aren't able to do all of it, right? You're not going to be able to eat all of the things, right? Just because of the way, I don't know, farming and society is, you're not going to get all the vitamins and minerals and nutrients that you need on a daily basis by just eating food. It's not like it was hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, where you're growing things, right? There's going to be some missing pieces. One of the things that I started doing recently, I'm really big on morning routines and what I do in terms of like first thing in the morning, right? Like I do pretty much the same thing every morning, unless there's some kind of extenuating circumstance. Like next week I'm going on vacation, my morning routine is going to be a little bit different than it is when I'm home, right? It's just the comfort of your home is very different than being in a hotel. But I try to stay as close to it as I can. Getting up, making sure I get water right away. I write down my first few thoughts, maybe meditate or write down my thoughts. It just depends on how I feel. I might just take a few moments of quiet reflection, or I might actually write some things down. Because when I'm asleep, for whatever reason, I have these great ideas. As I wake up and I gotta get them down before I forget them. And then I try to get my workout in as quickly as I can after that, because I feel like if I can win the morning, I have an opportunity to win the day, right? So I want to try to get some wins in early. And something I've added recently, and it's funny you said magic. This is actually called it's a supplement, but not really a supplement, right? It's a shot. It's like a 2 ounce shot of what's called Magic Mind, and it's got a lot of like natural ingredients, right? Because I'm big on, now that I'm 41, I don't want to just put anything in my body. When I was in my 20s, if somebody said this does this, I'm like, oh, cool, I'm taking it. All right, I'm going to just get it down. But now that I'm older, I have to be a little bit wiser, a little bit smarter about what I put in my body. So anything that I do take, I make sure that it's natural. I make sure that I trust the source. And so I just kind of added this to my morning routine. And the results have been pretty good, man. I can't complain. Like, I feel like I have energy right away. I feel clarity of thought right away. I don't feel like I need to have a couple of cups of coffee. It's something that I've added to my routine that I think I want to continue on. And I've suggested, I got my brother doing it now. I say doing it now like it's a drug or something, but I've got my brother adding it to his program, because, you know, as a father that has a busy schedule, like, your every minute matters, right? And so if I can be clear every minute, it is definitely something that is worked to improve on things that I do on a daily basis. And I guess if you don't take my word for it, Joe Rogan is one of the guys that I heard first talking about it. So he's got a much bigger podcast than me, guys. So if you listen to Rogan's podcast and you you want to take his word for it, and Joe Rogan's a proponent of Magic Mind. But it's really simple. It tastes good. It's a 2 ounce shot. You get it down. I get it down in between one of my glasses of water, and I'm out, ready to get busy. And I was lucky enough to be sponsored by the company, which makes it even better. So it's been pretty cool. It's been pretty cool to add to my arsenal in the morning. So I just want to throw that out there, because I know, guys are looking for solutions, and that's why I'm asking you questions. But I also wanted to provide my own little insight there. And it's been pretty good. And if you guys are interested, I'll tag it and put it in the show notes. It's magicmind.com, and I'll give you my link and code so you guys can save some money on it. But I don't want to make this too advertisement wise. I just want to kind of throw that out there because I think it's important.
I think I heard about it. Is that the one with the mushroom mix?
Yes, it is.
That supplement is like very popular in Europe at the moment as well, because it has like multiple mushrooms. I've been introduced to the mushrooms world, not only psychedelically, but as a nutrient by David Avocado Wolf. Like, I worked with him, I think 10 years ago now already. I did a few seminars with him. I organized these seminars together with a few partners in the Netherlands. And he first introduced me to reishi and chaga, and I think those are in the mix. And I definitely salute nutrients from the nature. I think I'm gonna check that out as well.
Yeah, it's got a lion's mane. It's one of the mushrooms that's in it.
Yeah, that was
cordyceps as well. Mushrooms and all that stuff was like, you know, we just eat portobello mushrooms in our food, but I never really looked at it as something that was going to benefit me physically, other than just, you know, calories and nutrients. But I feel great, and I don't feel like I need to have coffee. I'm a big coffee guy, but I like the taste of coffee. I used to feel like I needed it. Now I just can drink it for the taste. So that's been really cool. Yeah, I'm glad you heard.
You
of it
mentioned
too, so it's not like me making
you
it up.
You mentioned clarity. Mentioned clarity, and that's like one of the biggest pluses when working out. So that's why I would recommend like go start working out as first, because you get the clarity in your mind. The fog is just, you need to get rid of the fog. If you're a father, like you said, every minute counts, every second counts as a father. You don't want to have that fog in your head, and that's something like. What I say to my wife, me not working out doesn't work out. Right. It just doesn't. It's just the having that fog is such a waste of time. It's such a poor use of time. And I think indeed going working out and having food that gives you clarity, that's very huge.
Yeah. I agree. There is a certain amount of just clarity that you get from working out that I enjoy, right? Because it's my time, right? Because it's just me versus the weights or me in the gym. And even though there's people around, it's just me, right? I don't have to be, other than wiping things down, I don't really have to be responsible for anybody like I do in the rest of my day. I don't have to think about anybody else. It's just me and the reps and the sets and the weight. And it's like, it's that time where I get to myself. I get to think a lot. But I was, you know, because I get up really early, there were some days where I'm like in a fog and I'm just going through the motions. And now I'm really clear on what I'm doing, and I'm able to think clear thoughts. And it's been great. And I'll just, because I'm going to forget, I'm going to do it now. The website is www.4fitfatherhood. And the coupon code, if you want to save 20% off, and actually, I think you save 56% off if you do it now. Is 4fitfatherhood20. So if you want to go ahead and do that, because I, like I said, I know I'm gonna forget to say it again, because we'll get back in the conversation. It's gonna get good, and then you know how things go. So I'll say it now again: magicmind.com/4fitfatherhood. And you know how to spell it. But anyway, so clarity of mind. I think that's something that a lot of us, because we have so many things on our plate as fathers, that we have to try to get to, because it allows us to give and pour into our family in a fuller way. Exercise, as we mentioned, is one of those ways. Is there some other things that you would suggest that guys could do to get clear on their mission, on their purpose, on their journey through fatherhood and manhood?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things is stop overcomplicating things. Because you need the time, you need the mental energy to focus on something for a specific amount of time to be able to get any result at all. So stop overcomplicating things and strip down everything that's not needed. We tend to mistake like busyness with productiveness, busyness with being of value. If you're just busy for the sake of being busy, it's very unproductive. And I would say I read a quote. I don't know who said it, because I read a lot, so I don't know where I read it. It's just on there, but it stick to my head. The choose less then obsess. So make a choice, choose less than obsess. And obsess means like do it for a longer period of time. So stay consistent, choose one thing and do it for a longer period of time. Because what happens is like, and this is another quote, so now I'm going to quote bomb you, like what consistency does, consistency makes the compound effect play out. So if you're consistent for a long enough time, then the compound effect plays out. If you're not consistent, you're never going to experience the compound effect. And the compound effect is only possible if you do that one thing for a very long period of time. And that's something that another lack in young men as well, lack of patience. You need to have patience. You need to choose one thing and you need to stick to it and strip down all the other stuff, because they're just keeping you busy. They're just taking away from your mental energy, and you will find yourself just chasing another shiny object, shiny stuff. It just doesn't work. There have been men before us, and don't get confused by the Instagram world, the Disneyland world that is being presented to us, like this is how it's going to work out, and it works out for everybody. And you right now you have to do reels, right now you have to do the hooks, right now you have to do that. It's like there is so much information out there that distracting you. So make sure you don't get distracted. Choose less than obsess. That's one of the other things that I use a lot.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's a really powerful way to look at things, because I think, as I mentioned, we have all these different competing priorities and competing responsibilities. But if we choose just a few of those things and like really dive in, it's like they say, it's better to be a mile deep than an inch, or something like that. It's a mile wide, inch deep, or there's some way that you flip it, but whatever. Yeah. One of them is better than the other, right? Like a mile deep and an inch wide than a mile wide and an inch deep kind of thing. I think that was the right way to say it, but just going deeper into a few things as opposed to having all these different things, like having a finger on everything, but a hold on nothing. I think as fathers, if we can deep dive into a few things, we get better results. And so I appreciate you saying that. So we talked about it earlier, like in the beginning, the frequency of fatherhood. And I talked about, you know, the summit and some of the things that I was able to gain from it, but would you mind sharing with us a little bit about what the frequency of fatherhood is and what the goal is there?
Yeah, I just joined Frequency of Fatherhood like just a month or two before the summit, and I did all the behind works of the website, of the promotion, how it all fits together. But basically, there were two founders of Frequency of Fatherhood, from which one just recently stepped out. And I have a very good connection with Jack, the founder of Frequency of Fatherhood. And since I believe it was beginning of this month, we decided to join forces and me becoming co-owner of Frequency of Fatherhood. Because I run Fatherhood Dynamics, which specializes mostly on the four archetypes and integration of the four archetypes within fatherhood. That's why the dynamics part. And since beginning of this month, we chose to join forces and really like spark up the Frequency of Fatherhood, which is a platform, a community for fathers, where we, the first thing we did was organize that summit where we took on 30 speakers on fatherhood and in three different areas. I believe it was community, character. I can't remember the third right now. It's on top of my tongue. And so there were three areas, and we chose like 10 speakers per area, character, community. It's just somewhere on there. And we interviewed 30 speakers, and you were one of them. I was one of them at that moment. And it's what I said, the main thing behind Frequency of Fatherhood is we want to get as many fathers as possible. We want to connect with as many fathers as possible who are doing this work, because we are so much in need of positive role models for the next generation. The thing is, we're not going to change the current situation, but we can together give the better example for the next generation, and make sure that they have the tools that were missing the last 2, 3, 4 decades, where masculinity was just torn apart. We need more men stepping up for the men, for the boys, and for the girls as well. I have two daughters, and it's not like I don't do nothing for women, for daughters. It's just like I know as a man, I can contribute more to men, to boys, because I know what gap can be created if you don't do that. And we've been living that gap. Our society has been living with that gap for the last 2-3 decades. And we are seeing the results of that gap everywhere. I'm not going to go too much into detail into that, but we do see the results of broken masculinity. And I think I salute, I invite, I want to connect with as many fathers as possible who are doing this work, because we need every single one of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I want to say too, because as a father of daughters, I think it's important for us that just have daughters, even though we're working to affect change in the generations that are coming for young boys and men that are coming up. I think us being an example to our daughters shows them the type of men that they want to be involved with. But also, I think a lot of what goes into the controversy and crisis that we're seeing is that men now, because they've leaned very far into the feminine, are being told by women what a man should be, yeah, by women who didn't have a male role model in their life, right? So they don't really know, right? They're just telling you like the kind of guys they would date, right? And we think that's that kind of man we should be, or but that's not it, right? We're missing some pieces, because fatherhood as a whole was missing in the way that it should be for boys and girls. And so the work that we're doing is not just for boys or men or fathers of sons. It's for every father of every type of child, because your example will echo through eternity, whether you believe it or not. No matter how finite you think your fatherhood is, it is actually infinite. Because you will forever be someone's father. And so it's really, really important that, you know, the work that we are doing, that you're doing, that other guys are doing, it spreads, right? I got a couple questions, and these are the questions that are the podcast questions, right? Like, obviously, we've talked about a whole lot of things here, and all of them have been really good. And I think that guys that are listening are going to get a ton of information from this that they can use. But if I asked you right now to define what fatherhood is, or what does fatherhood mean to you, what would you say?
Question. What I want to say is, I think with fatherhood, what we do as fathers, we are the soil for our children to grow. And I think we need to make sure that we are like the best quality soil that they can get, because that's their starting point. That's where they start to grow. So we need a huge amount of light, a huge amount of positivity, because we need to bring, instill self confidence. We need to instill confidence in them. So we need to provide a huge amount of light to that soil, and we need to make sure that our home, our house, the place they grew up in, the place they see the first as how the world works, because that's where they see how the world works first, is in the house. We need to make sure that soil is like the best soil there is, and feed it with the right nutrition, give it light, and just make sure that there is enough soil, that you are there for them, that they can always know, okay, this is where I sprouted, how do you say that? This is where I started growing. And they will afterwards, they will seek other soils as well, but they will know what a good soil was. And I think that's like very important for them to know, like how it feels to have good soil. Because if they don't have like the good soil, it's much more difficult.
Yeah. The soil is like that foundational piece for the seed. Like if that soil isn't nutrient rich, or if it isn't moist enough, right, the seed just stays a seed, right? It never grows, it never matures, it never becomes all that it can be. So yeah, I definitely agree there. Fatherhood is very much like that. If you were able to, and let's just keep it in terms of the summit, because that's the big thing. Well, not the big thing, but one of the things, right? Like, we're gonna have another summit, and you're expert marketer, so you were able to get every single father to sign up. They're gonna come in. It's virtual, so you can get them everywhere, but you're only able to give them one thing. So you come on and what is that one thing that you say? What is the one message you want them to hear?
Engage with your children. And what I mean with engage with your children is the time you have with them is so short. The year of 18, 19, 20, I don't know what time they usually go on their own feet. But the time you have with them, those 18 years, let's say, is so short. And at the same time, it's so you have so much impact in that time. So make sure you engage within that time. Make sure that you do everything you can. You connect with them. You engage with them within those short years. Because the thing is, you never know. You don't know which part of your wisdom or your lessons or the time with you they will use, but you know definitely that they will use something. And so just make sure you keep on engaging through the whole period. And yeah, time is very short. It looks like a lot of time, but now I have a 16-year-old and it's like, where did that go? I don't even know that I have a 16-year-old daughter, and it's already gone. And yeah, engage with your children.
Okay. All right. All right. So let's say we're going to do another summit. This one's not as big, right? We don't have every father in the room, but we have three very important people in the room, and those are your children. What do you want them to hear?
I think I would say to them, do as much good as you can. Put as much good in the world as you can, because the world is a great multiplier, and you will receive so much more back. And I know that it's not really a popular opinion these days, because the first thing that pops into my mind is like, but then you're going to get taken advantage of. If you do too much good, people are going to take advantage of you. But I still think living your life in that way, focusing on kindness, focusing on delivering a value, delivering good to the world, I still strongly believe that's the best way to live. And yes, you will be taken advantage of, and you will maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three times, but you will learn and you will grow from that as well. So that's adversity, that's part of life. But I definitely don't think you should ever hold yourself back of being good, of doing more good, just because the chance is there that you will like be taking advantage of. So that's something I would say to them, because if they do that, I'm not worried. If they add value to the world will give them value back.
I like that. I think there is, you know, it's funny when you said that, I was thinking, you know, there is going to be that pushback of like, oh, you're going to get taken advantage of. And I think that's just the world that we live in, right? It's like there are people who are taking advantage of people who are good. But like you said, I don't think that stops you from doing good. I think you do good anyway, because that's who you are, right? You give because that's who you are. And I think that's a beautiful message for your children to hear. If guys are wanting to reach out, they want to get some more information, you know, they're wanting to, you know, maybe join the frequency of fatherhood or any number of things, what's the best way for them to kind of get in touch with you? Even if they just want to say, hey, great podcast, appreciate you coming on and sharing, what should they do?
Definitely. And if you have any questions, if you want to go into this matter in detail, if you have a question for me, just go to Fatherhood Dynamics. It's my Instagram handle. It's still very private. It's still very small. So I will be able to address you like privately, to answer you privately. And what I'm doing right now, because I'm writing the book on Fatherhood Dynamics, I'm taking this whole year, because I turned 40 last week. And I'm taking this whole year to put everything I learned in the last 16 years into practice. So I have like one every week I share stuff about that week. Every week I go into one archetype. For example, this whole week is about the king archetype. The next week is about the warrior archetype. And I cycle that every 4 weeks until we are like a year further. Because I wanna write a book, and I'm already there on the research part. I'm already there on the theory part, but now I want to like implement everything I know into my own family. And that's going to be, you can follow that on Fatherhood Dynamics. So we are like in the complete early stages of this whole process. We just started the first week last Sunday. Yesterday. Yeah, I think it's yesterday. So we just started this. That's the beauty of being like involved in your passion. You don't even know which day it is. It doesn't matter.
You're
working, but you're not working. So it's like, I don't even know which day it is, because it doesn't matter. You just doing. You're just active.
Right.
Yeah. So go to Fatherhood Dynamics. Hit me up with the DM. Send me a message, and I'll progress you to Frequency of Fatherhood through my own page. That's me.
Okay. All right. So, fellas, if you aren't already. If you already haven't, like, as you're listening, go on and hit follow. Make sure you do that. Make sure you stay tuned, because learning about the four archetypes and learning about where you are and who you align yourself with and how to, you know, better align yourself in the four archetypes is going to be very, very impactful for you as a man and as a father. So, you know, being able to go on this journey for the next year, I'm tuning in. And I think you guys should too, because I think there's a lot to learn from this journey, and you get to get into it early. I always hate when I'm like, I'm doing something and I find out about it, but they're like halfway through and I'm like, oh, they're gonna be talking about stuff and I have no idea what it is. And I got to go back and watch 17 videos to catch up. And like, I don't have time for that. I'll catch it next time. So fellas, you guys will get to jump into this early and be a part of it.
Yeah.
Happy belated birthday. I just turned 41 myself a couple weeks ago now.
You too.
So thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your evening. I realize the time difference now. Taking time out of your evening to spend time with us. You know, as fathers, we understand how important time can be. And anytime you sacrifice that time or invest that time into other men and fathers, it is extremely appreciated. So we thank you, right?
For this cause always. And thank you very much for inviting me, Rod. I enjoyed this a lot.
Well, I will be talking to you soon, I'm sure. And I look forward to whatever future conversation we have. I think up to this point, it's been great, and we'll continue to do so. So look forward to it.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Right.
Have a nice day.
All right. All right. You too.
See you.
You just tuned into another episode of the For Fit Fatherhood podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you once again for listening. If you haven't already, go ahead and follow me at You Can Call Me Coach on Instagram. Also follow the podcast at For Fit Fatherhood, the number 4 and the letter U on You Can Call Me Coach. Go ahead and flip over to the next episode, man. I know you love this one, so you'll probably love the next one. Excited for you guys to hear it.